I have no idea how I'm going to be able to get this audio, by the way. It seemed like it's easy to get, but I'm not 100% sure.
Backup storage. Recording in progress. I don't know. I think you probably just stop it and give it to you. This is a great start to the podcast.
Welcome into the Scene Setter Podcast. I am Scott Chasen alongside Sean Collins. We are here to talk about the movie It, Part 2, Chapter 2. What Chapter 2 is the official title.
Nailed it.
Sean, I don't know how long it's been since we've been back, but we are officially back again. And I know it's been a while because the quick recap of the movie on my notepad is talking about Spider-Man, which I'm pretty sure came out like 5 months ago.
We did Far From Home, and man, has Spider-Man really just blossomed into the MCU since then. That's been all, you know, flowers and gumdrops, and, you know, things are just going great on the Spider-Man within the Marvel Universe world.
Have they fixed that yet?
No.
What's the path? Because you obviously know more about this than I'm guessing most people, but it seems so. For people who don't know, Sony, Marvel kind of at odds over the character of Spider-Man, and it currently seems like Spider-Man is not going to be in the MCU moving forward.
Yes. I don't think I know more than most. I probably know like an even amount to people who paid attention to it, a decent amount. I mean, to be honest, I didn't like go searching for things into it, but I think it's along the lines of Marvel wants to keep on making these movies and Sony doesn't really get too much benefit from it, money, like profit-wise. They're kind of doing their own thing with like Tom Hardy and like Venom and all of that's going on, and this has been a great It Chapter 2 podcast.
Okay, so do you want to just get into the movie then, the actual movie we saw, I mean, and not Spider-Man?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, so we're here to talk about It Chapter 2, a little bit of a reformatted podcast, which we've done like 14 different times. But yeah, we'll right off the bat, we always start with why you should see this movie. Sean, why don't you go first on that? Why should someone go see this movie?
Well, I think there's probably a couple reasons why you should go see it. If you went and saw the first version, then I feel like you should probably just see it through the end. And, you know, if you read the books, then you probably want to see how this is done. And I think that we can both agree that, like, based on how, like, ridiculous and weird and, I don't know, I'm trying to think of the right word, like, it's creative, but also, like, bizarre, this story, and especially the second half of the story. I believe that, like, the original cut for the movie was, like, 3 hours and 45 minutes, and, like, they had to try and crush it down to one singular movie, because I think that, like, for a while they thought that maybe it was going to have to be 3 parts, and I think that's why it's 2 hours and 50 minutes or something close to that. But
yeah,
if you read the books, you want to see it out, I would assume.
Yeah, well, you told me that it was 3 hours, like, we were just having a conversation about it, and I didn't realize you were serious. Like, yeah. Very much 3 hours.
You feel the 3 hours in this movie, I thought.
Yeah, and we'll certainly talk about pacing and stuff like that, because I definitely did not think it needed to be 3 hours. But no. Certainly, yeah, look, if you saw the first part, it's always good to finish it out. And also, like, I don't necessarily think there are a lot of movies being made that are, as you said, creative. I think that's good. A blend of comedy and horror like this, mm-hmm. like true comedy and horror, because there are definitely scary parts and there are definitely very funny parts. And what was it? Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark kind of approached maybe a similar format to this,
yeah.
but it didn't do it in the same way that obviously the book and it does. And also, Stephen King adaptations historically have been just kind of awful, like, not necessarily his fault, like, a lot of the movies have just been very, very bad. So I think when you get one like this, I mean some of the critics obviously haven't been too kind with it, but when you get a movie like this, I think it's worth seeing, just because this is the quality version of some pretty good literature. And even though I guess some people have a problem with his endings.
Sure, I mean, I completely agree. Like you said, it's very few of his movies that adapt well to the screen. Obviously, The Shining is kind of like an anomaly in its own mm-hmm. right, and like that's a classic and untouchable, and probably never will be touched. And you know, maybe I'm missing some. I know that a lot of movies have been made about it. You and I, did not enjoy Pet Sematary very much. There was a lot of things about that movie that kind of sucked, but also the theater experience was probably one of the worst I'd ever been a part of. But yeah, I think It Chapter One like really set the tone of like how it is possible to take stories that like are already fully ingrained into pop culture and add to it. Like, I think that's significant to these movies as well, is that there are elements that I think are brought to the story that serve as strong additions and not just, you know, rehashing it and doing a good job of telling the story that's already been told. I think a lot of that probably has to do with the actors and the screenplay and the way things play out. And I know that, like, Stranger Things is really popular. I don't know if, like, kid actors is kind of like the thing now with scary movies that are, you know, trying to mix comedy and horror, but it seems to be working.
Yeah, I saw someone say that they would have liked this movie more as a Netflix series rather than a movie. What do you think about that?
I think it's possible. It worked for me as a long movie. I suppose if you're thinking, I don't know if they're thinking like 5 episodes, 8, 10, something like that. But I could see how that's possible. I could also see how this story could drag on. Because, I mean, after 2 hours and 50 minutes, while I did enjoy the film, I was definitely ready for it to be over. So I don't know. I mean, it would give them different options to really play out certain characters. And I thought that was kind of an issue in this movie as well. Is there's definitely characters in this movie that are thrown on the back burner. I suppose it's possible. What do you think?
No, I like 6 episodes, 30 minutes each would end up being 3 hours, right?
Yeah.
So it would be similar. Unless they wanted to take the format of like maybe each character gets an episode or something. Like,
sure.
I'm not sure there'd be a great way to do it. I just think it was a lot of content packed into a singular kind of movie. And just to kind of run through a quick recap of just so people can understand. Obviously, if you saw it, it's a bunch of kids who are battling a murderous clown, Pennywise, that feeds on fear. And they essentially defeat it by figuring out that basically that if they all band together, they don't have to be afraid, and then they can damage the clown, which is largely what happens in the second one. All the main characters from the original one have spread out, except for Mike, who has stayed in the town of Derry, I believe in Maine. Most Stephen King works, I believe, take place in Maine. And the clown, Pennywise, 27 years after its original kind of killing a bunch of things, comes back, starts killing again, and they want to... The Losers Club, as they're called, wants to defeat it for good. So they each have to battle some of their own inner demons. Ultimately, it sets up a fight with Pennywise. A couple of the group end up dying, I believe, too. But they ultimately defeat Pennywise, assuming for good. Although I know in the book, Pennywise is actually revealed to be like a spider in its true form, and it lays eggs, and there's some questions there. But for the most part, it seems like they actually defeat it. They save the town, and so anything you would add just to the quick recap, anything that people really need to know?
I'm not sure it's something that they really need to know, but I know that, you know, with like franchise type movies, and I'm not sure this can be considered franchise because it's only 2 movies, but a thing that you and I often debate or discuss after going to see a Marvel movie is we're like, hey, this was really awesome and great and all those things, but also there's still no stakes because nobody ever dies. People die in these movies, like main characters. And obviously that's how the book was written, but you know, you're not going to have any problem. Like it feels like the characters are in danger in this movie for sure. And I think that's something that adds to the horror aspect of it, of, you know, being on the edge of your seat and whatnot.
Yeah, well, originally, I want to say it's Stanley, a member of the Losers Club, who right off the bat actually kills himself at the very, probably first, 20 minutes of the movie, 30 minutes?
Something like that, yeah.
Just because he's too terrified to fight Pennywise, and as we find out later, it's kind of conflicting. Portrayal of suicide in movies is something that's very interesting, and you could devote a podcast to basically that in each movie by itself. It's kind of justified in the movie. He sends letters saying, you know, I would have been too afraid. And I know that everyone alive needed to be strong enough to fight it, or something to that effect. So he dies. And then is it Eddie who's the other character who dies?
Yes, that's right. At the end.
So Eddie is a hypochondriac, and he's, again, afraid the entire movie. He ends up kind of not really sacrificing himself. He does something brave to damage it, Pennywise, and then kind of turns his back and gets impaled through the back. So those are two of the core group of characters who actually end up dying, and obviously there are going to be other deaths that either go along with the book or don't go along with the book, such as Dean, a small child that we meet along the way. So from there, let's just jump into what we liked, what we didn't like. I'll start with you. What were some of the things, concepts that you felt worked well?
Well, this is going to be obvious, but I thought that they did a really good job of casting people for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I haven't gone and looked it up, but I think that this is probably the most loaded cast for a horror movie ever. That's really exciting. Once again, I think Marvel kind of ups everybody, and it's like, hey, if you're going to make these big movies, you better get lots and lots of big names in it. This movie obviously did. Bill Hader, Jessica Chastain, James McAvoy, Bill Skarsgård. I mean, that's a really, really solid Power Four lineup there. I like that they... I like kind of like they did like maybe like the Godzilla effect with Pennywise, and like you really feel his presence on screen, but he doesn't completely just take up the film. I really doubt he had more than like 15 minutes of screen time in this movie, and I'm sure it felt like way more at times. I actually looked it up, and Pennywise only has 8 minutes of screen time in the first movie, but I bet it really doesn't feel like that. So like every scene that he's in, like it feels like those scenes last longer because it's scary and you're kind of like gripping yourself. I really like some of the kids, like little backstories. So like during the movie, each of the grown-ups from the Losers Club have to go back and find their own token for a ritual, and we can talk about that later, or we can move past it completely. I don't really care, but they have to go back and find their own token, and some of them had like really compelling, like really thought out stories, and others were like, okay, they really just kind of needed to shove this character in there because this, you know, we never heard of anything like this, and it doesn't make too much sense. So I thought some of those were good and some of them were bad. Like you said, there's probably areas where some screen time could be chopped off of this movie. I think you could probably cut 20 minutes of this movie. I think that's probably my biggest issue, is that it's 2 hours and 50 minutes, but that's also kind of like an old person gripe. I don't know. How about you?
Yeah. No, well, so for the what I liked and what I didn't like, I'm going to agree with you a lot. I mean, I like the general format of you spend a little time on each character, develop them out. It was kind of like, in a way, the MCU encapsulated into a movie, where it's like before this big fight where all the characters go against the other character, you know, you get to learn a little into the background of kind of each character. I enjoyed seeing them in their own kind of adult life. I enjoyed seeing some of the bigger themes that it took on, whether it be, well, I think the biggest one was homophobia and including making one of the characters gay, I thought was interesting. Well, multiple, I guess technically, but one of the main characters I thought was interesting. I thought it was I thought it was a good decision. I was intrigued by the way they kind of set it up. And again, we spoil pretty much everything, but we'll try not to spoil specifically.
We spoil everything in all of our podcasts. If you're coming back, that's your fault.
Yeah. I thought that was really well done, I'll just say. And I think it's also a good reason why you should see the movie. Because it's subtle, and there are points where it kind of reveals it. I believe it's Bill Hader's character, correct?
Yes.
And
yeah.
At one point, like there's a flashback scene that kind of touches the subject, and there's a scene where Pennywise is taunting him kind of with knowing his secret. And it's one of those things that I think it would be possible to miss it. Mm-hmm. Throughout the entirety of the movie and never kind of pick up on it, maybe until the end, then you kind of figure it out. But I thought that was good. Yeah. And what I didn't like, and I'll jump into my worst scene too, I'll just kind of combine them.
Okay.
The whole thing kind of revolves around this prophecy. I know you mentioned it. It's like the prophecy of Chud or
something
like that.
No way. Okay, go ahead.
I just thought I mean, here, legitimately what I wrote word for word, and I'm guessing you wrote the same based off your reaction, is the general prophecy scenes I thought were pretty weak. I know that's ultimately not how they killed Pennywise, but I thought conceptually it was kind of dumb. And if you're sitting in that theater, you knew it wasn't going to work. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of felt like a big waste of time.
I said for my worst scene, and I quote, anything involving ritual discussion. Yeah, I mean, at the beginning, it felt like super clunky. Like whenever the ritual scene when Mike is showing Bill, like, you know, he forces him up into his tower with millions of books and what. By the way, there's no way Mike's read all those books. I'm just calling him out for it right now. Come fight me. But that was one of the scenes that worried me. I was like, oh no, is this going to be bad? I was watching that. Like, there's some really good scenes in this movie and some scenes that are pretty bad. We've both said that. But yeah, the rituals. And like you said, at the end, when they all got in like a circle down in that, you know, massive cave and whatnot, we're all thinking, okay, this movie's not going to end right here. Like there's no way that Pennywise just goes out like this with no sort of fight. Yeah, I mean, I suppose if it's part of the book, then definitely include it in that sort of fashion. But it seems like too much time was spent there. And it's kind of like, okay, now go find your tokens, guys. And they're like, oh, yeah, of course. Like, nobody actually had to search much. Like, everybody just knew exactly what they were looking for. And yeah, I mean, it was good.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get into that some. Best scene, I mean, I really enjoyed Bill Hader. I thought he stole the show on this. And I thought my favorite scene, when the losers are fighting Pennywise and Bill Hader is screaming, basically, I just thought he was hilarious. I also enjoyed the scene in the restaurant they go to beforehand. I also just enjoyed, like, Bill Hader fighting as a kid, the giant, like, lumberjack. And I thought he stole the show. I truly thought he was phenomenal in this movie. You mentioned the casting. I mean, James McAvoy, Bill Hader, Jessica Chastain, I thought were dead on, just excellent casting. And obviously, the casting of Pennywise too is by is it Bill or Peter Sarsgaard? It's Bill Sarsgaard, right?
Yeah, Bill Sarsgaard.
He's phenomenal in the direction he's take. I've seen like a video where the direction he takes with the character's face and how he does that weird smile, like that was basically his invention. And that was definitely the parts I liked the most.
For my best scene, I said Bill Hader, Pennywise childhood memory. It's that scene exactly where, you know, he's fighting that large lumberjack and he's in the arcade at one point, and that's kind of one of those scenes where you get a little bit of a hint about his secret. And yeah, I mean, he seemed to have the most compelling origin story of the Losers Club that go back. And obviously Bill Hader is kind of killing it right now with everything he's doing. Obviously Barry is really successful as well. Like you said, I've seen discussion that Bill Hader could get nominated for Best Supporting or something like this. I don't know how likely it is that would happen, but I suppose with Black Panther getting nominations and whatnot, that, you know, anything like that's kind of possible at this point. But yeah, and also Bill Skarsgård, his brother, one of his brothers, is actually the one that came up with that smile, and he just ended up using it. So like all the people in their family, they have like a bunch of actors in their family. They all can do that smile. And I thought it was pretty interesting that he brought it. And obviously he does an excellent job of making Pennywise just completely terrifying.
Yeah. And I looked it up. So Bill Skarsgård is the actor. The other name I was thinking of was Peter Sarsgaard. Yes. It is funny that
they
the two
are
of them
have notoriously mixed together, which is hilarious. Well, that you did that on this podcast.
Of course, very professional here. But all right, let's go to our Embrace Debate. Sean, you had a few of these things we want to discuss about this movie.
Yeah. I guess the first one I came up with was, is this a bad movie? There was discussion. I think the critics' reviews is at 63%, which is still fresh, technically. Users liked it more than critics did. But for me, I don't think that this is a bad movie. I think that there's bad components, but I've seen lots of bad movies before, and this wasn't one of them.
Yeah, it's funny because when I was going to rate it, it was a lot closer to that line, like the 5 line of what do I like this or do I not, than I kind of thought at first. I was just thinking through it. But Yeah, I saw a tweet, and I share this with you, where someone called it the worst movie they'd ever seen, and someone responded to them and said, I've been hearing this a lot, and I've heard multiple people say they didn't like the movie at all. Personally, I enjoyed it, so I guess, and maybe I'm predispositioned to like it, or I like the actors and the genre or whatever, but I wouldn't say it's a bad movie. I was surprised by that reaction. And I don't know how you could see it and think it's an awful movie. I truly don't. I actually think the floor of this movie is about a 5. Like, at worst, it's a well-made movie.
I agree. Completely. I can see how people don't like it. Like, if this isn't your genre, or this dragged on way too long for you, if you don't like movies in general, or like going to the movies or something like that, and you went to go see this with a group of people, you know, I know I have friends who go see one movie like every 4 years. And if this was the movie that you go see once every 4 years, I can definitely see how you come out of it thinking it's the worst movie of all time. But also, it just isn't. Yeah, like you said, the floor of this movie is that it's average. And with some of the scenes and some of the actors, I think peak rating, I'd give it an 8. That's not what I'm going to give it. But that's, yeah, I mean, at worst, it's still a fine movie. I think we agree there. I can move on to the next debate. I said, what did you think of the decisions to recast characters? We already talked about 3 of them. I can just go ahead and give mine. Or we talked about 4 of them. Obviously, I thought the 4 main, you know, casting was really good. We kind of thought that was going to be the case as soon as we saw that this was going to be the cast for these movies. And I also liked some of the actors that I hadn't really heard of. I thought that they nailed it. I think Mike's character was really thrown on the back burner in this movie. And honestly, obviously, Stanley's not in it very much because he takes his own life at the beginning of the movie. And there's a couple scenes with him that still go throughout. But, I mean, overall, it seems like they really were able to capture a similar performance, at least, that the child actors did in the movie prior.
Yeah, I thought Jay Ryan was good as Ben. He was the kid who in the first one is very kind of overweight and fat, and then kind of comes around the second one. I thought he was good. And I thought the actor who played Eddie, I guess, James Ransone, I don't know if I'm saying that right.
He was good. He was really good.
Yeah, I thought he was good. I really thought casting-wise that I don't know if there were many recastings of that list I would have done. I mean, again, like, I think you could make the argument that maybe Jessica Chastain was the weakest casting in terms of like consistency to the prior character, because she didn't really, it was kind of a different vibe, but I didn't think she was bad. I actually thought she was pretty good. So I thought they did a good job finding characters who kind of looked like the characters from early on. And also, by the way, the foreshadowing in that opening scene, this is a little off topic, but when is it Bev has the vision of how they're each going to die or some, or what they're all like in the future.
Yeah.
And I, the names are tricky on this. Is it Stanley who kills himself?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So Stanley asks something to the effect of like, what do I look like? And she basically, unless I'm misremembering this whole thing entirely and it was someone else, but she reacted weird. Like, like she didn't want to say because he was dead. So, or not there or something. I don't remember. That may not have actually been the case. I may have been mixing up a couple characters, but I'm thinking that's what happened. I don't know. Can you help me out on that?
No, I think that you're right. You know, she definitely had a different kind of reaction. She tried, it was basically a reaction of trying to hide. It's kind of hard to describe their face on a podcast, but yeah, the casting's pretty good. I kind of expected this answer from the both of us. If there were any issues with this movie, and there definitely are plenty, I don't think any of the top 15 issues revolve anybody from the cast.
Yeah. Is this scary? You asked that question.
I think there's parts that are really scary, and I think that there's parts that are kind of more like an action movie, and then obviously parts that are funny, and I think that that's kind of the purpose. Do I think this was the scariest thing I've ever seen? I think it's far from it. I don't think it's as scary as the first one. But ultimately the best way I could describe this movie is that it's fun. I don't know if that's exactly what anybody's looking for. If you're going thinking this is going to be complete horror, oh my gosh, I'm going to be, you know, screaming, shouting, hiding my eyes. I mean, you're probably going to be disappointed. It's just a different kind of movie than that. But is it scary? Sure.
Yeah, I think it is. It's scarier in theaters than it is in than it will be watching on a laptop. It's because like part of it when it gets loud and the screen's all shaking and like those moments make it this a theater movie. And I definitely felt that way about the first one. Like when it feels like it is kind of closing down on a character and they go to kind of that first person, you know, like where it's like you don't see the character and it coming at the character. You see it coming at you. Basically, yeah. I think those moments, maybe not scary, but it's a fun experience being in the theater. So, and I think also that ties in again, like you mentioned, Bill Skarsgård, the acting job he did with Pennywise as a whole, like both movies, he's not necessarily on screen a ton, like you said, but he certainly makes the most of that screen time. Your thoughts on how much he adds to the character?
I mean, I think he's tremendous. The character is already famous from Stephen King's books, but I mean he gives like a whole new like meaning to like being afraid of clowns. I know I hated clowns when I was a child, so like if I had seen these movies, like it would be game over for me. I think of it that way at least, and like he really does play a complete monster. And I listened to the cast talk about what it was like having Bill Skarsgård on set with them, because you know it wasn't every day that they were spending with him. It's, you know, very specific times. But he just acted like a normal human being, would go out to lunch with them, and he'd still be completely in costume and in makeup and everything, and he would just be discussing, you know, regular life with them while dressed up and looking terrifying, and like that seems like a really funny picture. But again, I think that he is really, really good in both of these movies. And obviously, I think Bill Hader was able to steal a lot of scenes and steal the show in his own way. But, like, without Bill Skarsgård playing Pennywise, I don't think that these movies would work. Even with the screenplay, even with the other actors, I just don't. Like, he is always going to be the most important component in these movies. And that's why, I you know, it's hard to give him anything other than that kind of praise. The scene that I've seen has been, like, in a lot of the promos whenever people go on talk shows, especially Bill Skarsgård and whatnot. I mean, commercials is when it's the scene where there's a little girl that goes under the bleachers at a brother or somebody's baseball game or something like that, and she confronts Pennywise in a scene similar to the first one where Pennywise first meets Georgie in the sewer. And, I mean, I don't think – I thought that that scene was easily the most chilling.
Yeah, it was a really good scene, and it was you know what's going to happen, and yet every single person in the theater is like really hoping that like this girl is going to get saved at the last minute or something. You know, she's going to turn away, but obviously, not the way it goes. But I definitely agree with you on that. Let's move into our awards. Do you want to start with your most improved player?
I can do that. I said my most improved player is technology, objectively, because it's 27 years later.
That's fair. That is a solid pick. And they had Netflix.
They didn't like use their phones once.
You know what? I was thinking about this and I was like, with how easy it is to acquire guns nowadays.
They didn't even think about it.
Yeah, they really messed up not just going to a gun store.
The only technology they got in the entire movie was Bill going back and getting his old bike.
Yeah. And some of them have decent cars. One of them has a nice car, but yeah, that's a good point. My most improved player was the Derry Police Department, because now they basically don't have to do anything for like ever.
Yeah. Not that they did anyways.
Yeah. Although they are going to be solving like the cold case of like the guy who got murdered in the river and the kid who went missing. By the way, James McAvoy is absolutely going to jail. He chased a kid into a funhouse, and then the kid vanished.
Died. Oh, he's if there's anyone who witnessed, yeah, no, Bill's going to prison.
Yeah, 20, like he's just absolutely done. But anyway, all right, Coach of the Year, who you got?
My Coach of the Year was Eddie. I think he was scared for most of this film. You know, at the end, he really does give the team the final push and the final words of wisdom that he was able to see from his kind of flashback memory and when he was going to get his token. And that was ultimately what helped them win. And so I'm going to give it to him. He was able to put himself on the line, you know, like a basketball coach or football coach or somebody who sees that his team is struggling. he goes out there, he gets mad at the refs, he gets ejected. So Eddie takes himself out of the game to pump up his own team. That's what I'm going with.
That's solid. That's good. You sold it at the end. I was questioning it early on, but I think you really sold it. I went with whoever Finn Wolfhard's agent is, because seriously, that dude has been in like every movie already. Do you know how old he is?
Younger than 16.
He is 16 on the nose. Okay. 16 years old, and he's probably already got like, I don't know what he's worth. He's already been in three gigantic things, if not more.
He's probably pretty close to being A-list at this point.
He could literally retire in like 2 years. Oh, man.
What do we do next?
Well, I didn't realize Sixth Man of the Year was an award, apparently, because I didn't do it. So why don't you go with your Sixth Man of the Year, and I'll think of one real quick.
Well, my Sixth Man of the Year award definitely goes to Kobe Bryant, because we know that his child is not going to be in any harm because he's in the gym, and that's the only place he can be. But the other girls on his team, you know, it's really up for grabs. We'll see what he says on Instagram.
That's great. That's so much better than mine. I'm going to be lame because, again, I literally forgot this award somehow. That's amazing. Whose bike is it that Bill he discovers? Bill? So Bill finding that bike all those years later, like, first of all, what are the odds? And so when I was watching this movie originally, I thought that he was going to have to burn the bike as a token. Mm-hmm. So I definitely spent like 20 minutes until he got the note from, basically wondering, how is that bike going to fit into that vase? It does not make any sense.
And how did he not recognize Stephen King?
Oh my God, that's a great point. Stephen King making a joke about the ending was very funny.
It was very funny.
All right, Rookie of the Year. I went with the carnival planner, who is obviously new in town because he made an exhibit where you have to walk into a clown's mouth in the town that the clown has been terrorizing for every 27 years a long time.
That's pretty good. My Rookie of the Year was, were there any new characters?
I think at least a few, right? Well, it's hard to know because they could have just been kids in the last movie.
Well, that one guy got beat up in at the beginning, and then one of them did the beating up, and then another one watched his friend get beat up, so none of those guys make it.
Tough sell there.
That's what I've got.
That's tough. All right, Defensive Player of the Year, who you got?
My Defensive Player of the Year was Mike. Defense is a lot of preparation and like knowing the other team, and nobody did any work on this other than Mike for 27 years, so I feel like he just gets it by default.
Mike, who lied about things, by the way. And speaking of which, my Defensive Player of the Year was telling lies and bullying people, because that's basically how the Losers Club wins.
Everybody is a bully in these movies, let's be honest.
Okay, Least Valuable Player.
Rituals. I don't need to say anything else. They did nothing. It did nothing. It brought them all back here. It gave them all, you know, PTSD from having to see people's deaths and having, you know, and then it didn't work. So
I went with Dean's parents. Dean is the small child who gets kidnapped and killed by Pennywise. And the reason I chose them is because, and this
They're
is
no
kind
joke.
Of morbid. Well, I mean, everyone saved the day. Congratulations, the clown is dead, whatever. That kid is dead still.
Yep.
So they're going to be kind of bummed. My honorary least valuable player was Panera Bread water cups, because I don't know if you've ever been to Panera, but the lids for the water cups do not fit, like, ever. And I was definitely very triggered when they could not get Pennywise back in the jar, thinking about all the times I have tried to put a lid on a water cup of Panera and then it has spilled on me.
Scott and I have been to Panera probably 20 plus times together.
That you are the guy I go to Panera with the most, for sure.
Aw, that's kind of sweet.
Yeah, I really like Panera. Panera should sponsor our podcast.
I mean, I'm in. I get Panera at least once a week.
Here we go. Ready? Panera Bread. It's French for bread. Is that true?
I don't know, but you know.
Bread.
They got some audio time.
All right, MVP. I think you know who I'm choosing. Who are you choosing?
Actors in the movie named Bill.
Well done.
That's actually what it is. Bill Skarsgård, Bill Hader. We've already said it. I don't need to say too much more again. They really just bring everything together in this movie. There's a lot of weird and bizarre elements, and they just make it awesome. When they're on screen, your focus is completely on them. Their scenes together on screen, especially when it's just the two of them, obviously, I thought that those were the best scenes in the movie. There's not much else to say for me for that.
That's a pretty problematic MVP pick, considering Tom Rogan, who is Beverly's abusive husband, is played by Will Beinbrink. So do you want to back that one up?
Well, I don't know if the actor is a bad person. But it's just Will. We don't know.
Maybe Will is his birth name.
I hope so.
I do too. Bill Hader was my pick. You had a better pick, though. What a great idea to go with the duo of Bills. The actor, everything about the character, he was absolutely fantastic. I thought James McAvoy was pretty good too. Very pleased by Bill Hader's acting performance. And I was looking up tweets after I saw the movie. I think a lot of people thought, and I'm guessing you agree, but I don't know for a fact on this, but I think a lot of people thought he was the star of this movie.
Absolutely. As far as the Losers Club goes and the new castings and the adult casting, absolutely. There's no doubt. Bill Hader, really, he's just good in everything that he's in. That's kind of been the standard ever since he was a star on Saturday Night Live. I obviously watched Saturday Night Live, so that was fun to see. He's really, really good in Barry, too. If you haven't seen that, you should. If you don't have HBO, then okay, well, you can't watch it then. But
you can log in on Sean's email and password. Sean's email
which is scottsucks@scottsucks@gmail.com.
Okay. All right. Grades. What do you got for logic?
I said ask Scott. He has a better chance of reading the book.
fun fact, I own this book. I opened the first page. I was like, I wanted to read it. And I kind of read the first two pages and I was like, I can't do this. This book is so long. I just can't make it work. So I just gave it a D. Basically, it's sci-fi, whatever. Some of the stuff was kind of weird. Like Pennywise had to hand Bill the boat that he would actually burn. I thought that was kind of confusing in like retrospect of like what the movie is. Kind of dumb that they all had to split up for this ritual that
that's like, the boat the ritual that Georgie was chasing.
Yeah, but like, why would Pennywise give him that boat? You know what I'm saying? Like, it seemed like there were just some things that didn't really make sense to me that like, or like the ritual seemed oddly specific to each of the characters splitting up and remembering something. And, you know, like what if they had stayed in town, then the ritual wouldn't have worked. It just seemed like a lot of stuff like that. Also the Losers Club coming back to Derry without actually knowing or remembering it. I don't know. Like I said, it's not meant to be logic. It's not meant to be logic, you know, but it is what it is. Did its job. I gave it an A- for that. I thought it was funny, cleverly scary, and a lot of memorable scenes.
I also gave it an A-. It's hard to give it an A or an A+ just because of how long the movie is. And part of it doing its job is making sure that, you know, you're completely satisfied. And I wasn't completely satisfied, but I was definitely mostly satisfied. So I also gave it an A-. I gave it a C on pacing. I thought that it could have easily chopped out 20 minutes and probably maybe an extra 5 after that. I think that this movie works much better as a 2-hour 20-minute movie, 2-hour 25-minute movie. I think that that would have been much better. There were definitely areas that they could have cut and that kind of dragged on. Even scenes that I liked that probably dragged on for just a little bit too long. The final fight definitely drags on too long. It's a lot of CGI. And if you don't like those big CGI fights at the end, you're probably not going to like this one either. So I thought I'd be fair and give it that C.
Yeah, pacing, I went with a D- as well. Or I guess I didn't give logic. I gave it a D, whatever. I honestly wrote this movie was an hour too long. It probably wasn't an hour too long, but it felt an hour too long. And I think that's what happens with pacing sometimes. It's like, you know, 5 minutes over is fine. 10 minutes over, it starts to drag. And then 10, 15, 20 minutes over, it starts to feel like longer and longer and longer. And you just go back. Like a lot of the stuff at a certain point just kind of felt needless. I'm not going to say the Stephen King ending criticism, running joke, whatever was needless, but it's like one of those things that you can look at and say, like, what did this add to the movie at the cost of like, maybe that was 5-7 minutes of screen time, even going back to his first scene, whatever. So, again, I thought the jokes were good. I thought a lot of it was needed. And again, like, I loved the fortune cookie scene, for example, like with the when they all went to that, I guess, Asian or Chinese restaurant. And then afterward, they run into the kid and the kid knows the Netflix special. And there's a funny moment. Like, all of it was good. It was just like a lot of stuff and a lot of scenes. And like, there are some movies you see that you can remember almost every scene. And this one's just impossible because there's about 5 trillion scenes. I also thought the bully character was kind of dumb and pointless, given he didn't really do anything and then got killed very quickly.
Yeah, this movie could have done just fine without his scenes. I think that that probably would have chopped out roughly 5 minutes. Yeah, I mean, he really didn't have too much purpose in this movie. On the ending, what was it? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that his only real thing seems to be building Eddie up, because then they could be like, hey, you stab this guy, but he stabs him and then it doesn't even kill him. Like, the boy just leaves and then shows up again later and then gets killed again. Like, it just felt like something that kind of dragged on. But no, go with your ending.
I gave the ending a B, which I admit is probably high, but for how difficult it probably was to have to pull off a crustacean clown alien monster attacking people in a cave and having to be super large and then having to shrink really tiny. Like, overall, they did probably as well as they could have, and I think that they were probably trying their best to stay as true to the book as possible. Like we've said, Stephen King often has issues with ending his stories. It wasn't, like, amazing, but they probably did as well of a job that they could have, and I don't really want to punish the story too much, considering, like, all of the, you know, all the aspects of the story were already in place before the movie was even made. So I just went with a pretty standard B.
Yeah, I gave it a C just because it wouldn't end. And it felt like, you know, there were some elements that were interesting. I had mixed emotions, like I said earlier, in the suicide note. And Richie coming out, I thought, was a positive part of the ending. Like, I thought that, or I guess not really coming out, but just kind of the portrayal of that. But again, even like the scene in the lake afterward, and it just felt like there was so much happening and just like that wasn't maybe necessary to be in there. So I guess the physical description of the ending, like if you narrowed it down to a couple of points, positive. But yeah, I thought it dragged. I thought there were just so, like, there were, someone tweeted that there were, like, so many endings, and I really agree with that. It just felt like they had 5 different endings, and at any point, they could have just ended the movie. It's like they defeat Pennywise, and then the cave's falling, and then they got to go to the lake, and then they got to read the letters, and then they got to get the final scene with Richie, and then we got to see what every single person's up to, and it's like, okay, like, just end the movie. Like, you can just cut it, just finish it. And I thought it was funny, given that literally they make the joke the whole time about the ending sucking, and then the ending was just kind of a lot.
That's pretty fair. Acting and writing, I gave a B+. The acting was, I mean, probably the strongest element of the movie. I don't think that that's a hot take at all. It was funny, like the characters were charming. It was scary when it needed to be, and sweet and emotional when it needed to be as well. Again, the issue is that the movie was long, so I'm not going to put my pacing into the acting and writing grade. So I thought pretty solid about giving it a B+, but again, you have to punish it a little bit for having the ending be kind of lame and having other parts drag on in the aspect that, you know, maybe there was some dialogue that could have been cut. And that definitely goes towards the writing. If there's anything about this that brings it down, it's probably the writing a little bit. If I had to separate the two grades, I'd probably give acting an A+, and I'd probably give writing maybe a B or a B-.
Yeah, I actually gave it a B+ as well for very similar reasoning. I thought the characters, the adults, for the most part, did a really good job of portraying the kids in kind of a grown-up form. But yeah, it was kind of the writing, and we talked about this when we watched, I think, yeah, The Circle. Like, that movie had Tom Hanks, Emma Watson, what's the guy from Star Wars? John Boyega?
Yep.
And
it was awful.
There might have been other famous people in there too. I don't remember, but like those three alone, like, come on, that's a great cast. You're talking about winning an Oscar with that type of cast. And the dialogue was so awful that it, like, and that's why this category is acting and writing, and why it's not just acting, because we wanted to make it clear that we're not going to penalize Tom Hanks for, you know, poor dialogue. Like, it's just the composite. So, yeah, I agree. I thought the writing at times a little poor, not tightened up enough, but I thought the acting was pretty good. Final grade, I went back and forth with this. I debated giving this a 7.5. I was as high as an 8 at one point. Ultimately, I went with a 7. 6.5 was probably the second closest I would have gone with, but I gave it a 7 out of 10.
I gave it a 7 out of 10 as well. And, you know, if I'm ranking it on like an IMDb scale, it's probably a little bit lower, like you said, probably like a 6.5. But I did like this movie a decent amount. I came out of the theater satisfied. Again, that's a lot of that's probably due to the acting, and this is a genre that I really enjoy in general. I think you're similar in that way. Sometimes you and I kind of clash on different kinds of movies, but when it comes to scary movies, I don't think you and I have disagreed very much. So this is, you know, this is pretty standard here. I gave it a solid 7 as well. I think we had some grades that really deferred here, and then some that were close. I think that's kind of a nice match.
Yeah, well,
we should do a podcast.
I was going to say, it's similar in line, at least for me, what I gave Happy Death Day 2.
Yeah.
Which, again, different movies. That movie is a much less quality movie, but it was a funny movie.
Those are both really fun.
For you, Captain Marvel was a 7.5, mm-hmm. So a little bit better than this. Game Night, 6.5, a little bit lower than this. Does that feel about right?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I bumped Game Night up to a 7 as well, but Game Night's not as impressive of a movie as it, Chapter 2, so...
That's a good way to put it. This was definitely an impressive movie. Whether or not you want to, you know, say it was a great movie, whatever. I think impressive movie is the good way to put this.
Cast, budget, CGI, the scenes that are intense are extremely intense. The scenes that are funny are very funny. And you do feel attached to the characters, and you hurt whenever they're gone. So, you know, that's something that movies sometimes have a hard time pulling off. So I think that's probably what really pulls it to this movie.
And the podcast was even better.